ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारायणं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु बद्धेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओके, रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 24 chapter entitled Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. Texts 4 and 5. So I read 4 and we're... Okay. Alright. Okay. Text 4. Alright. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami said, when Parikshit Maharaj thus inquired from Shukadev Goswami, the most powerful saintly person began describing the pastimes of the Lord, of the Lord's incarnation as a fish. Okay, text 5. Sri Shuka Uvacha Govipra Sura Sadhunam Chandasam apicheshvara Raksham icham stano dhate Dharmasyartasya chaivahi. Okay, please repeat. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, go of the cows, Vipra, of the Brahmanas, Sura, of the demigods, Sadhunam, and of the devotees, Chandasam, Api, even of the Vedic literature, Cha, and Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, Raksham, the protection, Ichan, desiring, Tanudhate, accepts the forms of incarnations, Dharmasya, of the principles of religion, Arthasya, of the principles of the purpose of life, Cha, and Eva, indeed, he certainly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, O King, for the sake of protecting the cows, brahmanas, demigods, devotees, the Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the forms of incarnations. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead generally appears in various types of incarnations to give protection to the cows and the brahmanas. The Lord is described as Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. In other words, He is always eager to benefit the cows and brahmanas. When Lord Krishna appeared, He purposefully became a cowherd boy and showed personally how to give protection to the cows and calves. Similarly, he showed respect to Sudama Vipra, a real Brahmana. From the Lord's personal activities, human society should learn how to give protection specifically to the Brahmanas and cows. Then the protection of religious principles, fulfillment of the aim of life, and protection of Vedic literature, Vedic knowledge can be achieved. Without protection of cows, Brahminical culture cannot be maintained, and without Brahminical culture, the aim of life cannot be fulfilled. The Lord, therefore, is described as Go-Brahmana Hitaya, because His incarnation is only for the protection of the cows and Brahmanas. Unfortunately, because in Kali Yuga there is no protection of the cows and Brahminical culture, everything is in a precarious position. If human society wants to be exalted, the leaders of society must follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and give protection to the cows, the Brahmanas and Brahminical culture. Om Jnanadhimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Firstly, I'd like to thank Prabhu. He asked me to speak on Bhagavatam, and my spiritual master says if someone asks you to speak on Bhagavatam, then you can't decline. You have to say yes. So, I'm not so learned in the Shastra, and there's probably many more senior devotees that could say something much more wonderful, but hopefully I can say something to inspire everyone and inspire myself. But in this purport, well, actually this is an answer to the previous text from yesterday, which... who is it? Maharaj Parikshit is asking, why did the Lord come in such a form as a fish? It seems fish suffers a lot, you know, so why does he come in this form? And Prabhupada was explaining nicely in the previous verse why Krishna comes, yada yada hi dharmasya, lani bhavati bharata. When there's a decline in dharma to establish religious principles, and Prabhu gave a nice class yesterday describing all the avatars and how they come. But this today is the answer that Shukadeva Goswami gives. Why Matsya has come, or why in general, Prabhupada begins the purport by saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead generally appears in various types of incarnations. And over here in the verse, it says to give protection to cows, brahmanas, demigods, devotees, Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life. And Prabhupada in the purport, he's specifically focusing on two out of all of these things. He's focusing on cows and brahmanas. And he even says in his purport actually that simply by... If human society learns how to give protection specifically to the brahmanas and cows, then everything else will follow naturally. Protection to the demigods, devotees, Vedic literature, religious principles, and the purpose to fulfill life. And then Prabhupada says that even Krishna specifically came as a cowherd boy to protect cows. That was his daily activity. Every afternoon he goes out and gives shelter to the cows, you know, and personally milks them himself every morning and evening. This is really wonderful example. And also he gives protection to the brahmanas, just like Sudama. We all know the pastime of Sudama and how he was so kind to him, and so how the brahmana is actually very dear to Krishna. Therefore he's known as Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. And cow, especially in this Kali Yuga, is very neglected. I don't know how much in India, but especially in the West, they are not considered, they're just considered as a animal that is to be exploited to a very crazy extent. You know, sometimes you see these trucks packed with cows, like they don't even have room to move, and they take them, and it's really horrible. It's a horrible sight. So Prabhupada says here, in Kali Yuga there is no protection of the cows and Brahminical culture. One may ask that, you know, how does, you know, because people don't understand, they just think it's some Hindu thing that you're taking care of cows. How does protecting of cows give any rise to religious principles, or how does it fulfill the aim of one's life? But you see, the cow is very special because it gives milk. And milk is used in yajna. It's used in sacrifice. It's used in deity worship so elaborately. You know, we use yogurt, we use ghee, we use milk itself. So if there's no cows that are happy cows, then you won't have much milk. And if you don't have much milk, then you can't do much yajna. And if you don't do much yajna, then Yajna Purush won't be very happy. And if Yajna Purush is not very happy, then, well, ultimately you won't be very happy. So it all comes back to the cow. You give protection to the cow, Krishna becomes happy. Because now you can bathe him. Krishna likes being bathed in yogurt and milk. This is what he likes. So when you do that, he becomes happy. You know. And not just that, Prabhupada also says that by taking milk, you get finer brain substance, if simply by taking milk. Actually, Prabhupada had given a nice analogy of how there will be never any waste if you have cow. Because if you have cow, you collect all the milk that you get. Even if it's too much, everyone should drink as much as they want, and whatever is left over, the next day you turn that into yogurt. And then everyone takes as much yogurt as they want also. So the yogurt on the third day then turns into ghee. And then everyone takes as much ghee as they want. And like that, milk should never be wasted. You know, actually here in Vrindavan, someone was cooking boiling milk, and when it raised over and Prabhupada could hear that it's burning, Prabhupada screamed, "Who is going to hell?" because milk is a very special thing. It shouldn't be wasted. And this is how Prabhupada gave a nice way of how it can be used. And this is a very important aspect, actually, because without finer brain substance, you won't be of very much use. Because Prabhupada also this word, brain substance, he uses this in this verse from the 11th canto, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangas Tuparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasaha. And that Sumedasaha, he translates as brain substance. You know, and if we don't have much brain substance, then we can drink some milk and we'll get brain substance. And when you get this brain substance, you get intelligence that, oh, maybe it's Kali Yuga, and because it's Kali Yuga, maybe I should chant Hare Krishna, you know, and get rid of the influence of Kali Yuga. There's this verse, Brahma speaks this verse. Iti sho dashaka nam nam kali kalmashanashanam nata paratranyanyat sarva vedeshu drishyati. And before this verse, it actually has the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti sho dashaka nam nam. This 16 words and nam, specifically like that. This is the only thing that can get rid of the influence of Kali. Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. And then what does he say? He says, Nata Paratara Nanyat Sarva Vedeshu Drishyati. I have seen all the Vedas. You know, Brahma has 8 eyes, so he can see much more than whatever we can. And he's seen all the Vedas. He's read all the Shastras. He heard it directly from Krishna. You know? And this is the conclusion. There is no other conclusion. This is his conclusion. That the only way you can stop the effects of Kali Yuga is by chanting these 16 names. You know? So if we take milk, then we can get very good brain substance to do the yajna and to satisfy Yajna Purush. Yajna Purush in this age actually is Lord Chaitanya. You know, he's come in Kali Yuga. The question is being asked here, why does Krishna come? And that's what's being answered. If we read CC Adi Lila, the third chapter and the fourth chapter, that describes very nicely why Yajnapurush of this age, Kali Yuga, why he has come. You know, and it's really beautiful. Fourth chapter is the internal reason, and the third chapter is the external reason. It's very good to know this, because he's our Yajnapurush, so we should know why he has come, so we can satisfy him. So the third chapter actually describes how he's come specifically for two things, which is the external reason. He's come to propagate Harinam, these 16 words that can destroy the influence of Kali, and he's come to give Prema Bhakti, pure love of Godhead. And these are the external reasons. And then if you read the third chapter, actually Prabhupada says in the purports, he says the real reason, which is interesting, it sounds like, you know, the other one is an apparent reason, but it is also equally important. It's just an external and internal reason. And Prabhupada says that the real reason is Lord Chaitanya came in Kali Yuga to taste the love that his devotees experience. You know? And Prabhupada even says that the love that the devotee experiences, he says, the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the mellows that come out of that, that is the purpose of bhakti. So in Jiva Dharma it says that the purpose of bhakti is to create an ocean of rasa that Krishna can drink and enjoy. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's a relationship between the living entity and Harinam, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, it's even described that there's no incarnation in Kali Yuga. Krishna is known as Tri Yuga Avatar. He just comes in the Satya Treta and Dwapara. And in Kali Yuga, he comes as his holy name. What is that? That song by Narottam Das Thakur. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. Krishna, in this age of Kali, the object of love, Golokera Premadan, the wealth of love in Vrindavan, that is Harinam, that same 16 words that you're chanting. This is actually a person. And this same person, to taste this himself, has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, the whole problem is, if you don't protect cows, you know, one might say that, oh, it's Kali Yuga, you just have to chant Hare Krishna, no need to protect cows. But it's the same point. If we don't protect cows, if we don't drink milk that's offered to Krishna, which makes him happy, then we won't get enough brain substance to understand that we're in Kali Yuga. Sometimes we forget, you know, if you think about it, you were born in Kali Yuga. So unless, I don't know, maybe some of you are Nitya Siddhas coming from the spiritual world, if that's not the case, then we're like lowest of the low. You know, we made it to Kali Yuga. Like it's a very small percentage, you know. And if you think about it, then it's like it's all a downward glide from here. You know, there's this verse in Bhagavatam, what is it? Mukta Sangha Paramrajit. Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan. Yesterday also Prabhu quoted this verse. Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan. It's an ocean of faults, nidhi, like unlimited. If you start noticing the faults, you'll be here forever, you know, because it's an unlimited ocean of faults. Hasti Eka Mahan Gunad. There's only one Eka, one good quality. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Rajet. You know, if you understand this, if you just understand this verse, it'll make everything very clear. Kali Yuga is just simply full of nonsense. And if we want to get out of it, then we have to really chant Hare Krishna. Today is actually a really special day also. It's our Ainu Prabhu's disappearance day. And we can see how he lived his life with so much firm conviction that chanting Hare Krishna will give you everything that you need. You don't need anything else. And we can see how he lived and how he started this. You know, we have our 24-hour kirtan. So 24 hours means now there's no excuse for anyone, because whatever free time you find, all you have to do is come to our Krishna Balaram temple and there will be a kirtan happening. Any free time you get, you come and you sit down and you get rid of the influence of Kali Yuga, you forget about all the ocean of faults that's in here, and be engaged in this one good quality, Eka, Eka Mahan Gunat. You know, there's nothing else really to do. Well, someone might say, if you say there's nothing else really to do, why do we have this big temple? Why do we have such elaborate deity worship? You know, we have such nice deities here, and why do we read Bhagavatam? Why do we do all these? There's 64 limbs of devotional service, going to Rupa Goswami. Just said, Hasti Eka Mahan Gunat. But now there's 64 different things to do. But the point is that we may not have so much taste in chanting of Hare Krishna. So the spiritual master engages the disciple accordingly to establish his Krishna consciousness very firmly. But we must remember this always. The point is Hasti Eka Mahan Gunat. And whatever we're doing is to understand Hasti Eka Mahan Gunat. It's not that we get distracted and just perform deity worship, because deity worship is the Yuga Dharma for the previous age. It's not for this age. But when you do deity worship, Prabhupada says in his Nectar of Instruction, in the 8th verse, in the purport, he says that as you chant Hare Krishna, you should be able to remember the form of the Lord. And when you're engaged in deity worship, especially when you dress the deities, and when you offer them arati, you're seeing them every day, and you're offering them boga, and you're looking at their lotus feet, and their lotus body, and their lotus face, then naturally when you chant Hare Krishna, you'll think of them. And at that point, you realize that, oh, this chanting of Hare Krishna is the same person that I dressed this morning. And this chanting of Hare Krishna is the same person that I'm going to cook for. And this chanting of Hare Krishna is the same person that I'm offering an arati to. And then deity worship has achieved its aim, its perfection. It's done its service for the Harinam. The Bhagavatam class is to understand the philosophy, to know this material world, to know the spiritual world also, and ultimately, actually, the entirety of Bhagavatam is this mellow, transcendental mellow between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. Even in this chapter, Matsya and I forget, who is the personality? Swayambhuva Manu? Is that right? Swayambhuva Manu, right? Swayambhuva Manu and Matsya and their relationship. And the rasa that is there. You know, the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam says, Prem ras niryase korite asvadan. This is why Lord Chaitanya came. To prema ras, and niryase means the essence of love of Godhead. He's come to taste this, asvadan. And rag marg bhakti loke korite prachar. And to preach spontaneous devotional service. And in that purport, actually, Prabhupada says that one must aspire for pure devotional service. So we have to become pure devotees, especially living in Vrindavan Dham. It's such a special place, you know. If we just think about the wealth that we have, we get to stay in the place of where Krishna performed his pastimes, and we get to chant Hare Krishna right here. And Hari Bhakti Vilas says how you get so much more benefit from doing it here. Because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He's always here. He's bound to this place by the love of his devotees. Because of his presence, if we chant Hare Krishna here, you may say that it's a bit more easier for him to hear, even though we may not be so qualified because he's just around the corner, so to speak. Obviously, Prabhupada built temples all over the world and he installed deities. And by his strong attachment and strong devotion to Krishna, he can make Krishna appear as Parisishwar or Londonishwar, you know. But still, there's something special in Vrindavan. Home is where the heart is. And Prabhupada was here, and he left his body here. And we can see also how much he loves Vrindavan. You know, in those purports in the fourth canto, you can read, actually, fourth chapter of Adi Lila, you can read how much he speaks about Vrindavan. That chapter is called Vrindavan Pastimes. That chapter is called The Confidential Meaning. Vrindavan Pastimes is the 14th chapter of Madhya Leela, which actually describes Hira Panchami, which is today. Today is the festival in Jagannath Puri. Hira Panchami, and Prabhupada says in CC that Hira means to see, and Panchami is just the day, Panchami. So, because Jagannath, just like we spoke how there's internal and external reason for everything Krishna does, so Jagannath, externally, he tells his consort, Lakshmi, that I just want to go for a ride, you know. I'm just going in the cart because I want to go on a Rath Yatra, and I'll just go on and come back very quickly. But the internal reason, in reality, is, and that's how Prabhupada says it, the real reason is that he wants to go to Gundicha because Gundicha is a replica of Vrindavan. And Krishna is only interested in Vrindavan, in reality. You know, one other point that Prabhupada makes in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, he says, we see here how Shukadeva Goswami is saying for the sake of protecting. And Prabhupada says that maintenance is Lord Vishnu's field. You know, Brahma is creator, Lord Shiva is the destroyer, and Vishnu is the maintainer. So when protection is concerned, it's actually for maintenance. You know, we also have our security guards. They're protecting people from coming and disturbing. And that's like maintenance. So Vishnu is in charge of maintenance. But then Prabhupada says that Krishna has nothing to do with this material work. And Prabhupada actually says that Krishna's killing of demons just happened to coincide at the time that Krishna wanted to come. So, and then he says, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the incarnations ever, you know, all the Yuga avatars, the Manvantara avatars, Lila avatars, the Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, and what's the last one? Shakti Avesha avatar. All of them enter into Krishna and they all come. And when Krishna is killing the demons, at that point, Vishnu is actually acting and he's killing the demons for the sake of maintenance. And then Prabhupada says the only reason Krishna really comes, and you know, Prabhupada is not one to use words whimsically. Every single word he uses has deep, impactful. In fact, even if you read this first line of the purport, he says the Supreme Personality of Godhead generally, and he uses that word, generally appears in various types of incarnations to give protection. Generally. But there are special cases where Lord Chaitanya comes and Krishna comes. And this happens only once in a day of Brahma. We're not just living in Vrindavan. We're living in Vrindavan in that one time, in that one day. I actually calculated it. If you know how long it is for Brahma, it adds up to like 0.03 seconds of his life. This 10,000 year gap that we have, and we happen to be here in this time. And this is a special case. It's not a general case of the Lord appearing. And in special cases, Prabhupada says the real reason for Krishna coming is he comes to display his eternal pastimes of Vrindavan so that we may get attracted to it. And we may desire to hanker after this thing. This is the real thing. There's Lobamai Shraddha and there's Shastriya Shraddha. Shastriya Shraddha is duty bound. It takes you to Vaikuntha, which is wonderful. But Krishna likes us to be in Vrindavan because that's where he's most happy. And you would like to serve Krishna where he's most happy. So you can make him happy in Vaikuntha, but you can make him more happy in Vrindavan. So as devotees, we would want to make Krishna more happy. And Krishna is coming just to display these pastimes so that we start thinking that if only I could serve in this reality. If only I could present myself, offer myself to my spiritual master to use me in this reality, you know. And Lord Chaitanya is also a special case. And he also comes only once in a day of Brahma. The same time that Krishna comes. After Krishna comes, Lord Chaitanya comes. And it's not just wonderful in the sense that Krishna's come with this special mood, but Lord Chaitanya's come to give that so easily. You just have to chant Hare Krishna. It's as simple as that. Chant. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he says that a Madhyam Adhikari should chant 2 lakh names. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. And Prabhupada says we have to come to the Madhyam Adhikari platform. So it seems like a bit over the head. But if they're saying it, then it's possible. If a pure devotee says something, it happens. Prahlad Maharaj said that Narasimhadev, yes, he is. Krishna is in this pillar and he comes out. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying Madhyam Adhikari means 2 lakh. That means it is possible. And Prabhupada is saying we have to come to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari so that we can preach. This is a preaching movement. Whatever we're doing to preach Krishna consciousness. Our 24-hour kirtan, this deity worship, all the services that are there in this temple. And that's why we don't just sit and chant the holy name. We can do that. That's called bhajananandi. No problem. That is nice. You have your relationship with Krishna, and Krishna likes those devotees that simply chant Hare Krishna. But it's not our mood, at least in our line of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He came very specifically to share Krishna consciousness. Why? Because this is Lord Chaitanya's mood. Rag, marg, bhakti, loke. Loke means the whole world, not just West Bengal, not just India, but every single town and village. It's a big job, you know. It's not something that it's going to take lifetimes and lifetimes for many people to get this job done. But you do it by chanting Hare Krishna, and you don't get distracted by the things. You see how Prabhupada did it in the early days. He would just send two or three devotees to a random place. They would have no money, no nothing, just a bunch of books. They wouldn't even know anyone. And sometimes they wouldn't even speak the language. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going to such a place? And they would start temples. How would they start temples? They would go on the street, distribute books, preach to the people, and hold mass Harinam Sankirtans. In New York City, they would have... I spent some time in New York, and they have a nice kirtan there. But in Prabhupada's time, they would have 250 devotees going out every Saturday. 125 would go in one direction, and 125 would go in another direction, and they would have 48 mridangas. Can you imagine that sound that would be coming, you know, like vibrating off the tall buildings? And then 125, they go all around, and finally on Fifth Avenue, it's like a famous street, there's lots of shops and many people are there, they converge and they make a huge mass Harinam. You know, that's how the movement started. They didn't have anything else. They just had Prabhupada's books, they had Prabhupada, and they had the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Actually, in Kali Yuga, there's only two ways Krishna attracts the living entity. Krishna attracts the living entity through the pure devotee and through the holy name. And that's what they had, you know. And you see, from that, so many temples came. From that, so many beautiful deities manifested. Prabhupada actually says, these deities are re-established in one of his purports in CC. He says, these deities, like Parasishwar, Landanishwar, they are re-established, which means they were there, and by the performance of Sankirtan, they've revealed themselves. Prabhupada says like this. So everything else comes through Eka Mahan Gunat, the one good quality. You know. Anyway, I would like to speak something about Hera Panchami, otherwise we won't have much time. But Hera Panchami is very special because, like we said, the external and internal reason, but when he reaches Gundicha, he becomes so happy to be back in Vrindavan that he doesn't really want to go back to Nilachal, to Jagannath Puri temple, because that's considered to be like Dwarka. And 5 days after the Rath Yatra, Lakshmi Devi is waiting there and waiting and waiting. Finally, her temper starts to rise and she can't tolerate it anymore. She takes her own Rath with her own servants, and it's decorated very, very opulently. And actually in CC it says when King Prataparudra was ruling, he arranged this whole festival, and he made double the amount of prasad that was served in the Rath Yatra. So even more prasad and even more opulence, and they all come in angry mood. And it's even described that there's dancers, and they're dancing in a way that like instills fear in the hearts of the pandas of Jagannath, the servants of Jagannath. And as they're dancing and approaching, they're really like freaking out, you know, they don't know what to do, like she's coming. And when they come, it's described, and Lord Chaitanya was witnessing all of this 500 years ago. They come and they tie up the servants of Jagannath and they force them to kneel them down at Lakshmi Devi's feet. They actually do this. And it's still happening today. In fact, it's happening today in Jagannath Puri. They do this festival. And if you read the 14th chapter of Madhya Lila, which would be a nice thing to do today, it describes Hera Panchami. If you have some time, it's not very long. It's 200 verses or so, but not many purports. So you can read. It's very nice. And in that, when Lord Chaitanya sees this, he immediately... What does he remember? He remembers Vrindavan. And he asked Swarup Damodar that, I'm seeing this mood of jealous anger, but in reality, because Lakshmi is also just a portion of Radharani, just like Narayan is a portion, just like the Purusha avatar is a portion. Like that, it's described in CC that all the Shaktis that come with Krishna, so, or you know, whoever it may be, they're actually an expansion of Radharani. So when Mahaprabhu sees this mood of anger, he immediately thinks of Vrindavan. And he tells Swarup Damodar, I'm seeing this special mood of anger. Can you describe what it is like in Vrindavan? And then Swarup Damodar Goswami, he describes all kinds of variety. There's so much variety in the spiritual world. It's actually very, very relishable. And this is what Lord Chaitanya has come to relish, this variety that Krishna is enjoying. You know? And then he describes how there are gopis who are some of them are very angry, some of them are very calm, some of them are situated in the middle, which means they can tip on either side, depends on the circumstance, what might happen. And how all of this is ultimately to give satisfaction to Krishna. We're all servants of Krishna. And these devotees are the most exalted servants of Krishna. And these personalities, whatever they do, they have no desire for themselves. Completely, 100% Krishna conscious. Especially the residents of Vrindavan, and especially the gopis of Vrindavan. They're the highest standard. And when they get angry, they're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. You know? It's a very nice description. If you have some time, you should read. It's quite long. I was thinking about reading it, but I read it myself. It took like 2 hours, so I guess it's not really possible. But if you read it, it will be very beneficial. And then at the end of that conversation, Srivas Thakur actually comes into the conversation, and he tells Swarup Damodar that you're speaking of Vrindavan, but what is this Vrindavan? Look at this cart, look at this chariot, Lakshmi Devi, so much opulence, so much gold, so much jewels, so much, you know, so wonderful. In Vrindavan, you simply have a bunch of flowers and twigs and maybe some peacock feather and some dust, you know. What is the use of that Vrindavan? Look at this, this is the real opulence. And but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then cuts into that conversation and he tells him that, no, you know, if that was the case, then Jagannath would never leave Nilachal and go to Gundicha. You know, the opulence that is present in Vrindavan is so beyond, it's even beyond logic. It makes no logical sense. Actually, bhakti makes no logical sense. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead come under the control of his devotee or his shakti? There's no place for logic in bhakti. Prabhupada even says that Krishna, this is how he says it, Krishna has a right to be away from logic so that mundane interpreters cannot understand him. Prabhupada says like that, you know, he has that right. Only those who have pure affection for him, only those who pamper and pat him, you know, only those can understand who Krishna really is. So we're really lucky, we're here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada has created this wonderful temple, we can engage in wonderful activities. Prabhupada says in so many places in Bhagavatam that the only solution is chanting 24 hours a day. So many places, it's filled in practically every canto. So many times he says it. You should see when you're reading Bhagavatam, what does Prabhupada repeat? He repeats this point that we're reading today, protection of brahmanas. It's all over Bhagavatam. So we have to know the heart of Srila Prabhupada and then we have to serve him. Brahmana culture is really important. Varnashram, he emphasizes so much also. Varnashram is really important. And Harinam is most important, and all of these other important things are to serve the Harinam. That also has to be there in mind. Today is also Vakrishwar Pandit's disappearance day. He's actually Tunga Vidya in the spiritual world. According to Dhyan Chandra Goswami, Vakrishwar Pandit is a disciple of Gopal Guru Goswami, who's a disciple of Dhyan Chandra Goswami, who wrote this Dhyan Chandra Padati. And in that, it says he comes as Tunga Vidya. But in Gaur Ganadesh Deepika, it's actually mentioned differently. Someone else. Anyway, it was a bit bewildering, but maybe someone can find out. But it says he was Tunga Vidya, and Chungavidya of the Ashasakis is expert in keeping beat. They have kirtan in the spiritual world, and someone keeps beat. Karatal, do the beat, you know. And she's expert in keeping beat. And when she comes in Gaura Leela as Vakrishar Pandit, she's not just expert in keeping beat, but he is expert in keeping beat and dancing. And as described, he would dance so beautifully that everyone would stop and just look at him. Everything would stop. The whole universe would stop. Just like when Hiranyakashipu does his tapasya, everything stops. When Vakrishar Pandit dances, see how wonderful our Krishna consciousness is. You know, in previous ages, they had to sit there and have the termites eat your whole body, you know, for you to get any attention from Krishna. But in this age, you simply chant and dance in ecstasy, and Krishna notices you. You know, he knows that you're trying to do something for him. So Vakrishar Pandit, he's a very special personality. There's also the pastime of how Devananda Pandit was relieved from Vaishnava Parad. He committed the offense to Srivas Thakur. Yeah, he was giving a class on Bhagavatam, and Srivas Thakur heard this and went into ecstasy. He started crying and screaming like Gauranga, Gauranga, rolling on the floor and in complete ecstasy. And it seemed to disturb the class. So the servants of Devananda Pandit picked him up and threw him out of the temple room. In one sense, you would say it's like natural to do that, but he was a pure devotee, so it was a bit of a problem. You know, and Devananda Pandit didn't say anything. They threw him out. And then later on, Mahaprabhu would not give him mercy. And he told him that I will not, because you mistreated my devotee. I will not give you any attention. This is also a danger. Although it's very easy to advance in Krishna consciousness, it's also very easy to lose everything by getting absorbed in the nidhir, galir dosha nidhir, you know, getting absorbed in the ocean. And that's the whole point, because once you start observing the, you know, it's much easier to observe an ocean than just one thing, because, you know, there's so much more of it to see, and we like variety, we kind of get bored of it. I just have to chant one thing, come on. You know, but that's the dangerous thing, because once you get distracted, then there's a whole ocean for you to swim in eternally, as long as you like. You can stay in this material world as long as you like. And Prabhupada said like that. You know, so he was cut off from the mercy that easily attained Krishna consciousness immediately because of how he treated Srivas Thakur. But you see how wonderful was Vakrishar Pandit's dancing. That when he saw him dance, Devananda Pandit, he saw him dance, and he was dancing so ecstatically everywhere, you know. And there were people around him. You know, sometimes we dance here in the Gaura Arati, and we have to put this rope around so that we can dance happily. Otherwise, there's too many people. You can't really dance. So that's what Devananda Pandit actually did. He had a stick, and he was blocking all the people from not allowing to disturb his dancing so that he can dance ecstatically. He had a stick and he was going around him and making a nice area for him to dance. And just by that activity, Lord Chaitanya accepted him again. So it's easy to go away, it's also easy to come back, and then it's easy to go away. And generally, this is what happens in our Krishna consciousness, you know, we just kind of go up and down and up and down. It's okay, but we just got to be fixed in this Harinam Ruchi. This will give you everything. You don't need anything else. And today is also the, like I said before, the disappearance day of Ayanda Prabhu, His Grace Ayanda Prabhu. He was a special soul. He came and he showed by example how you can do it, how you can just chant Hare Krishna and everything will come. You know, 3,000 Krishnas will come. That's how many Krishnas he has in his room. What to speak of one? So many shalagrams, you know. So this is the power of Harinam. On this day we can try and please all the incarnations. We're reading about Matsya, but Lord Chaitanya is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means all those avatars that we spoke about are in that personality as well. So if you want to please Matsya also, while we're reading about him, we can do Harinam, we can chant Hare Krishna. We have like 4 minutes, maybe if someone has some question or comment or would like to correct something if I said something wrong. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, not good. Sorry, devoted.
We are so bewildered. Just like in 1865, Prabhupada has mentioned, there are so many incarnations of God. But our goal should be that we should meditate on Krishna Shamsuddha.
Yes.
So, can you specify this, what Prabhupada has mentioned in 1865?
Well, they're just different incarnations, are just like different features of the Lord. Like Lord Ramchandra comes as Maryada Purushottama to show the ideal man, and you know, Narsingadev comes and he actually describes, according to Rupa Goswami, he's in the mood of Vatsalya, in the mood of Vatsalya towards Prahlad Maharaj. So they're just, you could say, like decorations, you know, for specifically showing some quality of Krishna. And in that way, we appreciate Shyamasundar Krishna by seeing all these different incarnations. We can see how Shyamasundar has all of these things, but to glorify some specific feature, Krishna comes in a certain way for a certain devotee, and it's all attractive, you know, in that sense. But Prabhupada says in that purport, Shyamasundar. And even in many places in Bhagavatam also, he says Shyamasundar very specifically. So Shyamasundar is Raso Vaisa. Yes, Ru.
Yeah, I have this question that the surrendered devotee to this Krishna consciousness movement, if he is engaged in some other activities which are important for the movement, that can also be considered like he is engaged in chanting?
Of course. I mean, main thing is surrendered means surrendered to the pure devotee, surrendered to the spiritual master. And the spiritual master will not give you an activity that may deter you. Sometimes it seems like you have to go and do collection or something, you have to go and do like, you know, something that doesn't seem like Harinam, but it's all to support the society for Krishna consciousness. And that society's aim, you know, the seven purposes that Prabhupada has written, one of them, all of them are important. One of them is to establish deity worship, one of them is to establish temples, one of them is for mass book distribution. All of this is Harinam. It is kirtan. Krishna kirtan. That one good quality. Hasti eka mahan gunad. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Mukta sangha paramraje. There's many types of kirtan. There's nam kirtan. There's guna kirtan. There's lila kirtan. There's rupa kirtan. All of this is kirtan. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, out of these kirtan, nam kirtan is the one that sits on the pinnacle of all the other kirtans. And all the other kirtans serve nam kirtan. But this is also important. If you don't have guna kirtan, let's say for example, if you don't know the qualities of Krishna, if you don't read about him from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, then what kind of nam will you be able to chant? You don't even know who you're chanting about. You know, if you don't have rupa kirtan, like if you don't have the form in your mind, then you'll become a mayavadi. You know, how you have to think of Krishna's lotus feet. He has feet. He has a beautiful arms. He has thighs like a trunk. He even Nectar of Devotion describes his voice. He has a deep voice. He has a short neck. He has a peacock feather. You know, this is also kirtan. If you think of these things, it helps in your nam budget, you know. And lila kirtan, Prabhupada says, to love God, you have to know God. You have to know God and then you can love Him. And to know God means you have to know what His name is, what He does, where He lives, who His friends are, what are His qualities. Otherwise, how can you love someone you don't know? It's a relationship we're trying to establish with Krishna. So all of these other forms of kirtan, they are also assisting, you know, in the one good quality. Jai. Okay. If there's no more questions or comments. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.